I know that there are certainly emotions that we experience when we're going through tough times. And of course, that includes the grieving process. And regardless of stages, just looking at the emotions and one of those significant emotions being anger, what are some of the ways that anger impacts the way we go through the grieving process? And why does anger even have a role at all?
Well, anger in general, even outside of grief or with grief, anger, I guess I best describe it as it's a person at an intersection. There's some kind of decision that they've made, some judgment they've made that's contrary to a regular way of believing or experiencing something, and they come to a crossroads to decide, is this going to change my thinking? And we get angry about that, or do I have to change? We get angry about that, or am I going to move through this anger and become better because of it? So it's kind of at an intersection there. You have several choices. The Bible teaches be angry, but do not sin. There is a healthy component to anger. Now, when you bring grief into the situation, you've got to be aware of the targets of the anger. You know, what's that anger targeting? Sometimes the one spouse might be mad at the other because they let the child go play around the pool. So there's an anger about that. Or maybe you let them drive too soon. There's some anger about that. Or sometimes there's, and oftentimes there's anger at God. You know, my child was doing great, and all of a sudden you take them away from me. There's that, and so you're at that crossroads. What are you going to do? You're going to say, well, I'm just not going to change. I'm going to remain mad at God, and that's the way it is. We're just going to live this out. That's one turn to the left or to the right. Mm-hmm. You turn the other way and say, I don't understand this. You know, poor me. I don't deserve this. And that's another decision. Or you can move through the anger and help it develop what really is going on. No, God did not take this person away. It helps bring some conclusion to the reason that the anger is even there to begin with. In therapeutic circles, anger is a good place to be because you can take the client through some of that thinking and there's a motivation to work this out. If they're placid and don't want to make any kind of response and they're just kind of into themselves, you've got more work to do. But if there is the emotion of anger there, you've got something to work with. And I guess that's why they put even anger in the grief process.
Yeah.
It is an important intersection. That's a big turning point. So
that's interesting, too, the fact that if they're angry, there's a good chance that they'll move, they'll work, they'll do
right.
something, they'll make progress.
There's something motivational there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I'm a better tennis player sometimes when I'm mad. when I keep hitting these bad shots, I think, you know, I've got to do something about this. Either quit or make it better.
Yes, sir. Well, do you find that some people feel guilty about being angry, and that's something, too, that they have to be helped through?
The guilt seems to kind of come when they're having to change a little bit, you know, and realize, maybe, and that's not a bad thing, you know, just the guilt. I mean, it's sometimes like oil and water, the guilt and the grief, but oftentimes, or the anger, but often in grief, especially the anger, the guilt about the anger can be an indicator that the person's moving through it in a fine fashion. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, spouse. It was not your fault. I'm sorry. And they reach that stage where it does help them through making amends and doing the healthy things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know we were talking, too, about the whole notion that we differ in how we express our grief, how we experience the grief. Mm-hmm. How we mourn. And you brought up a great point too, Melrose, that when we talk about kids, mm-hmm. we're talking about a whole nother set of dynamics.
We are. Kids in grief, they tend to cycle through their grief quickly because they're sad and they want to know why. But then something catches their attention and they're outside and they're laughing, and that's okay. That's what kids do. And I think I love the word empower. If we can empower our children to let us know what mm-hmm. what is it you need, mm-hmm. and be there as best we can. A mom who has lost a child and has other children at home, that's a very hard thing to do, because she's dealing with her own grief. She's dealing with grief of her husband, grief of children. And if it's a family of seven, there are seven different ways to grieve. But for children, they have to be able to do it in the way that they need to do it. And people don't need to take offense. If they're laughing and happy at one point, let them laugh and be happy. And then come back, and there'll be a time to keep it open, keep the communication open, answer the questions as honestly, depending on the age of the child, answer it, and they'll move on. You know, kids will do that anyway. They just, they don't want to know the whole story. They don't want to sit down and listen to every word you have to say. They just want the initial question answered as best you can.
That's true.
And then move on down the line. And their little minds will come back to it again if they have another question. And I think it's important to allow them to have part of a funeral ceremony. If there's something that they need to put in with their loved one, if it's a father or a mother, something that of theirs, that should be allowed. And funeral homes are very happy to do that. Mm. But that's very helpful for children to have a part in the ceremony. Maybe they can dictate something that they may not be able to read, but have somebody on the side that can. It's very healing for children to have a part in the funeral process. And then for us to respect the way they're grieving. I think that's very important. And Grief Share can help with teenagers, 13 and up. We will welcome them with open arms and separate them from their family members so that they'll feel honest and they'll feel they can be honest about what they need to say. And then if we got it big enough, and that's my real hope, is that we could have a focus group for teenagers and young adults, mm-hmm. that we could focus that group, because that group is often misunderstood and their lives are very different. Like Greg said, you know, the social media, they may find out about loss before even the parents can. You know, if they were a group of kids and they were in an accident, you know, they may know that it's out there before maybe even the loved one knows, parents mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. And that's a horrible way to find out. But, you know, there's a whole way that we can target that group too. And I think that's something we should be aware of.
So, you know, I'm thinking about what you all have shared with us over the week before last this week. And one of the things that it seems that, I know we have fears, and that's understandable. And I think that one of the things that we can often be afraid of, even if we don't realize it, is we can actually be afraid of the grief itself. Mm-hmm. But, and I say that to say this, thinking about what you all have shared these two times that you've been with me, it seems like, although it's understandable that we would have a fear of the grief, we really don't need to be afraid of it, because there are ways to cope with it.
Absolutely.
If you could, again, contact information that will let people know mm-hmm. how they might be able to get involved with Grief Share.
Sure. Its internet would be www.griefshare.org. In our area, they can call our church, Trinity on the Hill United Methodist, and that number is, Greg?
706-738-8822.
All righty. Thank you again,
thank
both
you.
Reverend Hatfield, Melrose York,
thank you
so much for being with us.
Thanks so
you
much.
You all have been a tremendous help.
Thanks. Thank you.
I really want to encourage you all, think about what they shared with us. You don't have to be afraid of grief. Don't have to feel like there's something wrong with you if you are grieving. It is part of the life process, because it's something that we all experience at some time or another. I really do want you to think about ways that you can put into play some of the principles you've heard them talk about, life principles. Remember the number. You may want to become a member. At least check out Grief Share. Check out the schedule. See when you might want to show up and see if it's a good fit for you. You might be surprised to learn that may be one of the greatest ways that you can let some of life's best moments come to you and then through you. Till next time.